In the last days, and as I have said many times, the super sign that we're in the end of the world time. Got it, Bobby? Is the fact that Israel has become a nation again among the nations of the world. May 14, 1948, Harry Truman was the president, a Democrat and a good man. He had a Jewish friend and he put pressure on him and Harry did the right thing. Who was born that same year when Harry Truman was the president? Donald John Trump. And Donald John Trump has made the embassy in Jerusalem the place for the United States embassy. Other presidents gave lip service to it, but only Trump actually moved the embassy to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And I truly believe that Israel is a nation among nations because God is getting ready for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. God is getting ready to restore the kingdom of God from the reign of Satan, where it's been for 6,000 years, and give it back to the seed of Israel. And who is he? Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule and reign. The next capital of the world is not Washington, D.C. It is not Moscow, Russia. It is not, my friend, any other capital in the world except Jerusalem, Israel. And we, as God's people, shouldn't be ignorant of these things. We should know these things. And there are a lot of people that talk about the Middle East and all of that. But if you want to know what's going on in God's economy, look at Israel. They're God's timepiece. And understand the prophecies in the Bible that relate to Israel. I've mentioned men of God that have helped me with prophecy, and I've not been ashamed to get benefit from men of God as I've studied myself and put it together. And I really believe that this church, we're not perfect, but this church has a good understanding of Bible prophecy, and you should, and it will help you to help other people in these days. And so we want to look at tonight the second message in a series called God's Peace Plan for the Middle East. God's Peace Plan for the Middle East. He has a peace plan. There's going to be a peace in the Middle East just prior to a next prophecy. It's not an imminent prophecy. Some things have to be done first, but it is a next prophecy. Does one of the men know what that prophecy is? That there will be peace in the Middle East prior to this big next prophecy being fulfilled. I'll give you a hint. It will be a wartime prophecy, but there'll be peace before it that the Bible speaks of. Anybody know that? One of the men, raise your hand and I'll have you say it. Brother Luke, who is it? Well, not that one. I'm thinking of another war. That is a wartime prophecy that is coming, but that could come any time. But this prophecy is not imminent. What do you think it is?
You said not imminent, sir?
What's that?
The Isaiah 17.
No, that's imminent. That could happen anytime. Sarge, help him out. He got it. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Remember, they'll be dwelling safely in their land. They'll be at peace. There'll be no war going on. Israel will be without walls. It's a temporary peace. It's not the permanent peace of Jerusalem. When Jesus fights and wins the battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19. Boy, I'm so happy I've read that and that Jesus is winning. I have no worries, no fears. I know that Jesus is going to put the devil away in handcuffs and put him away. I also know Obama's going down, but that's something else. But I'm just saying tonight that God's peace plan for the Middle East is not man's peace plan. I thank God for Donald Trump, but he's trying to get the Abraham Accords going. The idea of that is, you know, get the people that descend from Abraham, which are Jewish people and Arab people, and get them together. And let them, you see, have trade and commerce and all of that. But we looked at the Abraham Accords and we found out that's not really God's peace plan, even in the near term, for the Middle East. And I know we need to pray about these things. You know, I would consider myself a conservative politically, but I don't agree with some conservatives. I heard this conservative that was talking about making an equivalency between the Palestinians and the Jewish state, the nation of Israel, and saying, well, you know, Israel needs to give more, you know, all this. And then he said, it would be good just if Israel wasn't even over there in that promised land. Well, he's ignoramus. He doesn't know his Bible. Right away, I know that statement is ignorant. Candace Owen, she's another one. She has no. She's an ignoramus when it comes to Israel. And she can point out flaws and faults with Israel. Well, of course, everybody has flaws and faults. But I'm saying she misses the whole point. She strains at gnats, but she swallows the whole camel. Tucker Carlson. I like Tucker Carlson as far as, but I don't like his understanding of Israel. And these people have great influence. But you know what? I am a Christian before I'm a conservative. I'm a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. And so that is what we're going to look at, and we're going to look at God's peace plan. And we said last week that under that peace plan, you have to understand God's foreign policy for any nation as it's related to Israel. And we found out in Genesis 12 that God spoke to Abraham, and right after Genesis 1-11, when you had God's plan for the Tower of Babel, when he spread all the nations and he wanted different nations and different languages, right? Different borders. Thank God for Trump. He wants that. He is a nationalist. God's a nationalist. That happened in Genesis 11. Well, right in Genesis 12, God began to establish his chosen nation, and he spoke to Abraham, and he said to Abraham that he would become a great nation, amongst other things. But that's the first thing, he'd become a great nation. And then we found out last week, we looked at, well, where is that great nation from Abraham going to come from? Because the Saudis come from Abraham. Is that great nation? And in fact, the Arab people say, yes, it is the Arab people. It is the nations of the Arab people. They are the great nation. And they came from Ishmael and Abraham's son through Hagar, his Egyptian handmaid. That is the great nation. But that's not what the Bible says. Which son, one of the men tell me, of Abraham was to be the father of that great nation? Son of Abraham?
Isaac.
Isaac. And there were two sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Which one was to become the father of that great nation?
Jacob.
Jacob. And Jacob was a schemer, heel catcher, his name, but God changed his name to Israel because that's not going to be accomplished by, maybe Jewish people are shrewd in business, but it's not going to be accomplished by being shrewd. You could be as shrewd as you want, and when you faced Hitler, you found out what you got. You see, Hitler was controlled by Satan. Satan hates the Jews. You say, why does he? And that's why these conservatives, and they start babbling their gums and shooting off their mouths about Israel, and they don't understand God's plan for it. They don't understand what they're dealing with. They don't understand Satan's hatred, and they're playing into the devil's hands. That's why this is important. You've got to understand the spiritual aspect of this. There is a cosmic warfare between God and Satan. And the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God on earth. The first king was Adam, and Satan defeated Adam through Eve. He got her to fall. The woman being deceived was in the deception. The being deceived was in the transgression. And Adam knew better, but he loved Eve and he put her above God. Ladies, you have an effect. Can be for good or bad. Can be for good or bad. Watch your power. But anyway, Satan deceived Eve and got to Adam, and he took the kingdom. And for 6,000 years, Satan has had the kingdom of God. It's now in his hands. He's the small g, the god of this world. And he controls the world. He offered it to Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't want that world. I'm getting the world to come. And Jesus defeated Satan by dying and paying for our sins. And Satan was like, oh, he got me. Then he rose from the dead. I'm telling you, you have no reason to mope around. You're on the winning team if you're a born-again believer. And so we need to keep our eyes on that and to realize that there's this warfare going on. And the book of Revelation, the book of Genesis tells the defeat of the kingdom of God. But the book of Revelation tells you about the victory of the kingdom of God. And it tells in chapter 12 all about this cosmic warfare. What does Satan want to do? I said it last week. He wants to do two things with the Jewish nation. That great nation that God said in Genesis 12:2 would descend from Abraham. One, he said he wants to kill them. And Herod tried to kill all the Jewish children. Hitler tried to kill every Jew on earth. He was trying to conquer the world to kill the Jews. Pharaoh tried to do it with the Jewish children, and Antiochus Epiphanes tried to do it. I'm just saying to you that Haman tried to do it, tried to kill Jews. Satan wants to kill Jews. Why? Because he knows what? One of the men tell me, what does Satan know and why he wants to kill every last Jew?
Because Jesus is going to save the Jews.
Because Jesus is going to save the Jews, but Jesus is going to save us. But what's going to happen, Brother Jose, when Jesus saves the Jews?
No, the Messiah is going to come from the Jews.
Amen. The Messiah is going to come. He's a Jewish, and he's going to set up the kingdom of God over the earth again. Amen. So when you get saved, you go to heaven. I go to heaven. But when the Jews get saved, the kingdom of heaven comes down. Jesus comes back. He reigns in the kingdom over there. Satan doesn't want that because that puts him out of a job. By the way, the truth of the matter is Satan's already been fired. He just hasn't yet been removed, but it's coming. And so God said he would establish the Jewish people as a great nation. And he says in the Bible, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. He's talking about Abraham as a person, but he's also talking about his descendants. But what descendants? The ones through Isaac and Jacob that are that great nation that gave us the Bible, that gave us the Messiah, that will give us the kingdom of God on earth. That's what these people are so ignorant of. So I'm going to bless Israel. Praise God for Israel. And I'm going to tell you that Israel's not perfect. They have sins and things wrong. But I'm still going to bless them. And I know that God has brought them back to their land, even though they don't accept their own Messiah. And I'll give you an illustration of that. When I went to Israel, I saw it. You could see it. That land is being blessed already. That nation is being blessed. Couldn't we see that? And you know what I thought about, and I had a pastor that was there, a Jewish pastor that spoke to us while we were there, our tour group. And the blessing of God on Israel is this, that it's like Joseph. Remember Joseph when all of the Israelites came to him, the sons of Israel, his brothers, they came to Joseph. Joseph is a type of the Messiah. He was dressed up in Egyptian clothing. He looked like a Gentile. He spoke a Gentile. That's what Jesus is to the Jews. It looks to them like a Gentile Messiah. It's not our Messiah. But that's because he's dressed up in our garb. Jesus. And Joseph was dressed up. They didn't recognize him. And they were talking, but he was listening. He knew everything they were saying. And he was trying to bring them to repentance from throwing him in a pit and rejecting him. He was trying to get them right with God. And yet he took care of them. He gave them food and he took care of them. And he took care of Benjamin. Remember, he gave him five times as much because that was they shared the same mother. But I'm just saying that Jesus right now is taking care of his brothers. And do you know, even in the great tribulation and in the day of the Lord to come, at the judgment of the nations, at the end of the 70th week, Jesus is going to put people on the right hand and left hand. Nobody that mistreated and slandered Israel is going to even have a chance to get saved before the millennium. He is going to sort them out based on that. He said, in that you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, he's talking about Jews, you've done it to me. And then he said, come. And they said, when did we do it? And he says, come. Right then he opens their eyes to who he is. They believe upon him, but they don't even get that opportunity if they misuse the Jews. I'm saying, bless Israel. It's true throughout all of history. And I am preaching about that. I told Lisa I preached that. The Jewish girl we told you about, she's coming by our house with her kids. And she was very happy. She said, thank you, Randy. Thank you for talking about me and my family. She said, Christianity and Judaism, you know, we're close. And I just want her to get saved. She knows that. She heard my message. She listened to that message and appreciated it. And we're praying for Lisa and her family. I'm just saying that we want to be a blessing to Israel. I know Matt has a lot of Jewish friends and gets an opportunity to witness. And if you have an opportunity to witness, you witness to the Jewish people. But just one more thing. The Saudi peace plan is part of the Abraham Accord thing that they want to do. They want to be a signatory to the Abraham Accord, I believe. They're coming up to it. And I don't believe the Saudis have yet signed on to the Abraham Accords, but they're being pursued along with Syria. The UAE, United Arab Emirates is in it, Bahrain. But Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates and Morocco and other places, they agree with the Saudi peace plan. And the Saudi peace plan doesn't recognize another thing that's part of God's promise to Abraham called the Abrahamic Covenant. Not only a great nation, not only a great name we talked about, not only a family tree forever that we talked about, but a promised land. Genesis 15:18. Unto thy seed have I given this land. And we find out the borders of the land in Genesis go all the way from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River in modern day Iraq. And all the way from the south up to Lebanon, the mountains of Lebanon there. That's all part of the promised land. It's just bigger than Texas. Right now, Israel's smaller, or as small as the state of New Jersey. Promised land is so much bigger. And I believe that the Saudi plan says, and this is what the Arabs so often do, they say that Israel and the Palestinians have been in conflict, and we need to have a sovereign Palestinian state within the borders of Israel. But by the way, there's no such thing as Palestine. I said before, a Roman emperor in AD 110, there was a rebellion one more time against Rome by Israel. It was called the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And this emperor Hadrian, he went in there and he said, we're going to turn Jerusalem into a toilet. We're going to just make it a place for people to go potty. That's it. And he said, what's the worst enemy of the Israelites in their history? And they told him, well, of course, the Philistines. And he said, okay, he was Latin, he spoke Latin. He said, okay, then we're going to call that land Palestina. Palestine. The British picked that up in the 20th century when they had custody of the land. They did promise a homeland for the Jews, the Balfour Declaration, but they called it Palestine, and the British people did a lot of bad things to the Jews, and they went down. I thank God that Donald Trump's been doing good things for, just keep it up. because that blesses America. You bless Israel. That's God's foreign policy. And we could say other things, but we've got to go on to tonight's message. God's peace plan for the Middle East is what we've been looking at. And we said last week, God's foreign policy plan related to Israel. Bless Israel. And don't curse them or you'll be cursed. That's true of nations and individuals. But tonight is God's Middle East peace plan per se. That's what the message is called tonight, God's Middle East peace plan. And that's the name of our whole series. But anyway, the Abraham Accords that I just mentioned is man's peace plan. But what is God's peace plan for modern day Israel? And, you know, Tucker Carlson, they're not quite so sure modern day Israel is Israel. Let me tell you, Israel is still Israel. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 12. He talked about the Sabbath day. And when I went to Israel, they practiced the Sabbath day. And he said, it's really bad because you're not going to be able to flee on the Sabbath day. Jesus recognized that modern day Israel is still Israel. Ezekiel 37 recognizes the Valley of Dry Bones, that modern day Israel is Israel, that God has brought them back. And yes, God is going to have to chasten them during the Great Tribulation. Yes, God is going to test them during the 70th week under their law when they're practicing their sacrifices, and they're going to fail. They're going to fail. And yes, God is going to bring down the day of the Lord, and Israel will go through that, but he'll save a remnant through that. One third of them will survive. God is then going to save Israel, and we need to recognize that. God's Middle East peace plan, and realize that the Abraham Accords is not God's Middle East peace plan. So, what does it say in Jeremiah 12, 14 and 15? It says, thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors. Who's he talking about in Jeremiah 12, 14 and 15? Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors. Well, he's talking about Israel. And he's talking about the nations that directly border Israel today. And he's speaking to them in Jeremiah 12, and he says, thus saith the Lord against, look at this, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Well, who brought Israel back to their land? Well, a lot of these guys, like Candace Owens, she'll say, oh, it was the one of those guys that run the world. Yeah, but these guys that run the whole world, they're Jewish and they're wicked. Thank you, the Rothschilds. And Candace Owens says, it's all the Rothschilds. All the modern state of Israel is the Rothschild. Can't God use the devil to do his work? Sure he can. He does all the time, friends. Devil put Jesus on the cross, but it was God's will. I don't care if the Rothschilds have a part of it and they're evil dudes. Some of the most evil people in the world are Jewish people. So are some of the most blessed. I don't care. It's God. You know, people told me about Donald Trump. Oh, the Epstein files, they're not coming out. Trump's not releasing them. I said, well, just pray to God. I'm not trusting Trump. I'm trusting God. He's put Trump there. And now, boom, look what happened. See, I'm looking to God. Are you? You should be looking to God. I should be looking to God. And he says, thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land. Who's he talking about? Egyptian people, Syrian people, Jordanian people, Iraqi people. These evil neighbors around Israel that want to get them out of their land, whether they be in Lebanon or any other Arab state. He says, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. He's saying, I'm going to take the Jews and take them out of these nations and put them in the promised land that I promised the Jews. And that's happening right now. God is fulfilling that, Jeremiah 12, 14, and 15. But has God yet plucked these Arab neighbors out of their countries? No, they're still there. But it's going to happen. And then he says, and it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. He's speaking of the Jews now. And will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land, the promised land. You see, God's plan for the Middle East is not for Israel to be shrunken more. They're only the size of New Jersey. And now set up a Palestinian state in the midst of Israel. Who are the Palestinians? They're the descendants of Israel's brother, Esau. That's not God's plan for Esau to inherit the promised land. That is in the Saudi plan. That's what they want for the Abraham Accords. But that is not God's plan. God's plan is for Israel to expand to possess the land that he promised them. And I believe that Israel's going to get greater and they're going to get stronger. And Jeremiah 12, 16 and 17 says this, "And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people," he's speaking about these evil Arab neighbors, nations, "to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people." See, after the Ottoman Empire fell, God brought back Egypt to its ancient land and gave it the name Egypt, brought back Iraq, gave it the name Iraq, got brought back all these nations to their ancient land. And what he's saying is, in the old days, these evil neighbors taught my Israelites to serve Baal in the Old Testament times. He said, but now, he says, if these nations, which I've blessed to be brought back, they're going to be built in the midst of my people if they follow the God of my people like they followed Baal and got my people to follow Baal. But let me ask you, have these Arab nations that have been brought back and are the neighbors of Israel, have they been following the God of Israel? Have they been following the Messiah of Israel, Jesus, the Messiah? Have they? No, who do they follow? Yell it out. Who do they follow?
Allah.
Say it again. Allah. And you see, God is getting ready to make Allah fall before Jehovah. And that's going to give you an opportunity to witness if you understand these things. Remember Dagon, the Philistine god, and he kept falling before Jehovah, his image, and he fell and it was cut in half. Listen, God is getting ready in his peace plan to give victory to Israel over its Arab neighbors. And I've seen it happen. I saw it happen in 1948 when 60 million Arabs attacked just a few million Jews and God gave Israel the victory. I saw it happen in 1967 in a six-day war. It was amazing. The Jewish people, they won and they expanded their territory. I saw it happen in the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Israel won. And then ever since then, they've had all these intifadas or uprisings of the Palestinians, and Iran has placed its proxies of Hamas and Hezbollah in and around Israel. And what's happened? You've just seen Israel win out again and again and again. But it's not over. There's going to be a final war in the Middle East. Yes, there's going to be Jeremiah 49. We'll talk about that next week. Yes, there are going to be some other wars. But I'll tell you what, Israel's going to come out on the winning side. And there's going to be peace when Israel wins and defeats all of these Arab nations. And according to Psalm 83, Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7, Isaiah 17 that someone mentioned, 1 through 14, and Jeremiah 49, 1 through 27, as well as... Listen, God is going to cause the IDF to win. You know all those missiles that were shot, that were intercepted? There have been some miracles on those missiles I've heard about. It wasn't just human interception. It was divine interception. And I'm just saying, God is not going to let anybody move Israel out of their land. He brought them back, that he'll chasten them. but he's going to save them as a nation. You say, what does that mean to me? It means you can't lose your salvation. God doesn't break his promises. If he did, he'd have shucked you off a long time ago. That's right. You say, Israel does bad stuff. Yeah, but God hadn't changed his mind about Israel. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. Man, all the sins I've committed since I've been saved, I think maybe the Lord's changed his mind. He wants to get rid of me. But he doesn't do that. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Malachi chapter 3. And we're talking about God's peace plan for the Middle East. So these modern Arab nations, they have their peace plan. And they want to get the Abraham Accords. But what about Saudi Arabia? That's the main Arab nation, the Saudis. What about them? In the Bible, they're called Dedan, D-E-D-A-N, Dedan. And let's look at what it says in Jeremiah 49, verse 8. This isn't the Iran prophecy. That comes later, verse 34. This is the Arabs. Jeremiah 49, verse 8. Here's what it says. Dedan, which is Saudi Arabia, it says, flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan. That means you better be lower than the bunker busters. Dwell deep, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. Now, wait a minute. You say Saudi Arabia, they're allies to the United States. Trump is getting them to do the Abraham Accords. They're tolerating Israel and all this. Yeah, but they want Israel to have a Palestinian state run by the descendants of Esau right inside Israel. And God doesn't want that. So they're in trouble right there. They're not blessing Israel by doing that. And so what does it say here? Now notice at the end of that verse, those verses, verse 8, Jeremiah 49, he says, for, dwell deep, for I will bring the calamity of what? Esau upon him. Who's Esau? The Palestinians. In other words, what is the problem with the Saudis? They want to be buddies with the Palestinians. You say, where does that go? It goes way back. The Saudis descended from Ishmael, from Abraham. The Palestinians descended from Esau. But remember when Esau saw his dad, mom didn't like the wife, the wives, plural, that he chose, and they were given his mother trouble? He said, I'm going to make my dad happy. I'm going to choose a woman that's local. And he chose a daughter of Ishmael. And he married her. And ever since then, the Edomites, which are Esau, and the Dedanites, which are the Saudis and the Arabs, they have been together. And that's why Saudi Arabia is trying to get the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, to get the promised land and to trade land. And then they say, we'll be good neighbors and we'll trade with Israel if they do that. But God doesn't want them to do that. And therefore, there's going to be calamity upon the Palestinians. There already is. You see it happening? There already is. And that's a whole other subject. Israel gets so much slandered for that, which I could go into, but I won't. But Dedan is mentioned within the Palestinians. It says in Ezekiel 25:13, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, those are Esauites, and will cut off man and beast from it, and will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan, that's Saudi Arabia, shall fall by the sword. So Saudi Arabia is going to join in with southern Jordan, which is the Edomites or Esauites, going to join in with the Palestinians and still want Gaza and still want the West Bank. That's Israel's land. And in fact, all of Jordan is Israel's land. And so that is going to go down as well. And so the Saudis are going to fall because of their desire to be with Esau. And in Psalm 83, verses 4 through 8, it says, they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. That's what the Saudis are going to do with the Palestinians and all the other Arab neighbors, the Syrians. That the name of Israel be no more in remembrance, for they have consulted together with one's consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom, that's southern Jordan and the Palestinians, and the Ishmaelites, those are the Saudis. My friends, what I'm trying to say to you, the war is not over over there. Not only Iran, it's not over. There's going to be bombings over there, but there's going to be war over there. And thank God the Saudis later on, when the great Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion takes place, the Saudis are standing with England and with the United States. When the Russian-Turkish invasion happens, it says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, that's England, with all the young lions, that's the United States and so forth thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? See, the Saudis at that point, after they've been soundly defeated by Israel, and Israel has a great store in the Middle East, the Saudis are going to go along with it. You see, peace requires something that Jack Hiles said, and you know what it is. He said, if you want to have peace with somebody, you have to defeat them. If they're ungodly and they're wicked. You don't make peace by compromising with the devil. You defeat him. And that's what happened with the Japanese. They're our friends now because we beat the snar out of them. And I'm just saying that's what's going to happen. That's God's Middle East peace plan. And it's not going to be the Abraham Accords that's going to be it. It's going to be God's peace plan. And the Bible says in Obadiah 1:18 about Esau and the Edomites and southern Jordan and the Palestinians. It says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. You know what a fire does to dry stubble. In other words, they're going down. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Nobody remaining. You say, that's awful harsh, but who said it? God. I'm not the judge. If it were up to me, I wouldn't be sending all people to hell. But it's not up to me. It's God. And I'm just saying that is God's peace plan. The defeat of Jordan and the defeat of the Palestinians that are trying to take that land and claiming they want peace. If Israel gives up the land. No, it's ancient hatred that Esau had for Jacob, and that Ishmael even mocked Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I also will stretch out my hand upon Edom, that's South Jordan, cut off man and beast from it, and will make it desolate from Teman, that's the city in South Jordan. And they of Dedan, that's Saudi Arabia, shall fall by the sword, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. There's going to be war in the Middle East that will bring about a great peace, and Israel will become very rich, and Israel will be greatly enlarged. Does that mean everything Israel does is good? No, they're going to go through some things, and we'll talk about that. They're going to go through some great suffering in the land. We'll talk about that. But I'm simply saying tonight that God's peace plan involves war. You say, what about Syria? What about Syria? Some of you know the prophecy about Syria that has to do with God's peace plan. Does anybody know where that prophecy is found about Syria that has to do with God's peace plan? All right, Matt, where's it found? Yell it out. Isaiah 17, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to read you just a portion of that as we wrap this up. Here's what it says. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. You say, who's going to do that? Well, look at verse 9 of Isaiah 17. It says, in that day shall his strong cities, that's the cities of Syria, be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel. And there shall be desolation upon Syria. Israel's going to defeat them. Israel's going to defeat Jordan. Israel's going to defeat Saudi Arabia. Israel's going to defeat the Palestinians. Israel is going to expand all the way to Iraq. And Iraq may be involved with Syria in that defeat. Israel's going to help defeat Iran and cause a nuclear disaster. That's all part of God's preparation for peace in the Middle East. And we'll talk about that. But be aware of what God is doing, and don't be confused. And when these things happen, those that put Allah up are going to see Jehovah is superior. And it's an opportunity for you to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a God we have. One that his love is stubborn. It doesn't change. Thank God for that. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And we've been talking about God's peace plan.